Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to a brand new week of Catholic Answers Live. Are you pro-choice? Are you of the view that a woman's right to choose abortion should be preserved in law? Welcome. We certainly welcome your call today. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this is Catholic Answers Live. We are also streaming, as well as being on the radio today, we are also streaming on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. And today we have another live service added to the host of services available, Periscope. We're streaming live on Periscope today. So if you are on Twitter, just go to our Twitter account at CatholicCom. At CatholicCom. There's no dot in there or anything like that. So you got a whole bunch of options between Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope today, or just listening to us on the radio. We try to provide opportunities on this program for those who disagree with Catholic teaching on morals or Catholic religion teachings to have their chance to express those disagreements. And very few topics provoke such a maybe passionate reaction as the question of abortion. Perhaps you are a pro-choice person. Perhaps you are personally opposed to abortion, but you believe that it should be legal. Well, we dedicate the entire program today to the question, why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-318-7884. Catholic Answers apologist Trent Horn will be taking your questions and comments today. Trent is a convert to Catholicism and the author of several books, two of which are of particular interest to our topic today: Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and also one of the books in the 20 Answers series, 20 Answers About Abortion. Catholic Answers has a extensive 20 Answers series. Hi, Trent.
Hello.
How are things where you are today? Feeling well?
I am feeling well, actually. So I'm broadcasting here in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a nice little overcast day. These are the days here in Phoenix when people say, people will ask, why doesn't everybody live here? And I tell them, well, you'll find out in 4 months. So
All of a sudden, it'll dawn on you.
It will, yes. It does creep up gradually, kind of like the frog in the pot that boils. And I don't know if it gets close to boiling around here sometimes. It gets close enough. But otherwise, things are very good, and I'm very happy to be on the show today and to talk to people who might disagree on the issue of abortion and identify as being pro-choice. I think those are some great conversations to have.
They are indeed. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. We have a new nominee for the Supreme Court. There was an article about him this morning in the New York Times, and I wanted to throw this by you. He has made the legal argument that if you accept Roe v. Wade, then you must reject suicide and euthanasia. Does that strike you as an odd argument? But his point being, well, the court said that the rights of a person don't accrue to the unborn child. And if you say that, then you say, then they must accrue to everyone who's born. So that would eliminate the possibility of assisted suicide and euthanasia. I don't think that I don't think he's saying that he does agree with Roe v. Wade, but he's saying if you do, you have to reject these other innovations.
Yeah, I think I would agree with your assessment that he's talking about what would logically or legally entail from a court's particular ruling. And that's the role of justices to say, well, if there's a ruling A or B, what is the logical consequence of this when a case that may be unrelated in many factors but have a string of relation comes along? They'll say, well, it follows from this previous case here and there. I would say, actually, this is not that far-fetched, and I'd have to read his exact words to see what he meant by this. But I do know that the Supreme Court, I believe it was in 1997, struck down the idea that people have a constitutional right to assisted suicide. That was right. The Washington versus Glucksberg case, which was decided 9-0, actually, which is, I don't know too many unanimous Supreme Court decisions like that. And so it didn't outlaw assisted suicide, obviously, because we have that in California, Oregon, and Washington. But it struck down the idea that people have a constitutional right or that states cannot ban assisted suicide or euthanasia. And this is a court, obviously, that had many people on it that were firmly in favor of Roe versus Wade, at least half the court. So that may be one thing that entails from that. That ultimately, if you do argue right to life as being inviolable only for born people, then that would take away euthanasia or assisted suicide. However, if you argue abortion from bodily rights, that I can do whatever I want with my body, then it kind of seems that assisted suicide or euthanasia follows. Though I do believe that very powerful arguments can be made on all of those fronts, that with assisted suicide and euthanasia, you obviously have to take a different perspective. This is not about someone, except in the case, some cases of euthanasia, whose life is ended against their will, like the unborn child has no say whatsoever. People will say, I get you that the baby didn't have a choice in this, but what if somebody chooses to end their own life? Why can't we help them? And that's where we have to bring forth arguments that show that the right to life is inalienable, something we can't even give away ourselves. Yeah. We recognize this. I mean, you live in San Diego. They shut down the Coronado Bay Bridge and always have to talk people down or forcefully pull them down who want to end their own life. That we understand in many cases, no, we don't let people do end their own life. That we say, no, you should not do this. We have a responsibility to help you not do this. And what makes assisted suicide wrong is that we say, well, unless you're disabled or you're very sick or you're elderly, then it's okay. Your life is not worth living. And that's not an attitude we should have. All human life should be treated as having the same equal dignity and intrinsic right to live.
And I think, you know, in your experience, would you say that it's also the case that even though you don't necessarily say that, as a matter of fact, Judge Gorsuch is saying you can't logically say I accept the Roe versus Wade decision and that leads to suicide or euthanasia. It's not necessarily a matter of logic that once there's an erosion in one area of the respect for human life, there's a tendency for the whole thing to kind of erode.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where the problem comes when we say, well, what matters? Human lives matter because of how they function or because of how capable they are of interacting with other human lives. When we value quality of life over a right to life or intrinsic human value and dignity, then it becomes much easier for other rights and other lives that are in danger to be placed in jeopardy and to have their liberties eroded in this way. So that's why we've seen in countries where people say, you know, take abortion or assisted suicide and euthanasia. It always starts, well, it's only for these hard cases.
Yeah.
It's only for the case of rape or life of the mother, or it's only for someone who only has, you know, a few months left to live and has a terminal painful illness. What we see in Europe, which actually their abortion laws in most of Europe are not as liberal as the United States, but euthanasia and assisted suicide, it starts with the hard cases, and then you have children who can be euthanized because they have clinical depression. So the slippery slope is quite real. In many cases, it's not a fallacy, and it's worth pointing out.
Amen to that, brother. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. And we go to Gene in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on 1260 AM. Gene, our topic today, why are you pro-life? And Trent Horn is taking your questions. Gene, what did you have to say about why you are pro-life?
You mean pro-choice?
Pro-choice. I beg your pardon. Thank you very much, Trent. Gene?
Yeah.
Why are you pro-choice?
I don't think it's anybody's business but the person that's going through with themselves, the doctor, their family, if they have one, and God. They pray over it and they make a decision with their doctors about what's best for them to do. I don't think anybody has a right to tell them what to do or make a law about what they do with their body.
Okay, Gene, you said it only involves the woman, her doctor, and God. Before we have to go to a break, I have one quick question. Should the father have any say because the baby is his son or daughter?
If he happens to have a family, you know, now if she has a boyfriend, maybe he can talk it over with him. Maybe that might help him make a decision too. Who knows?
Well, Gene,
it's not anybody else's decision.
Gene, if let's say the boyfriend says, please don't kill my baby, who should people side with, the boyfriend who says, don't kill my baby, or the woman who says she has the right to end the baby's life? Who do you side with?
That can be discussed. That can be worked out. They can work that out between the two of them. But that has nothing to do with making a law about it.
Okay, so you would agree, though, Jean, that so in this case, they can just talk about it. If it's a baby before it's born, you know, it's up to them to make that decision. Let's say the baby's been born and the mom says, you know, I'm done with this baby. And in fact, I'm going to go and just throw them in the canal behind the house. I'm done with all of this. Should she be able to kill the baby after it's born?
I don't believe anybody should kill anybody's baby before or afterwards in certain degrees. In certain degrees, okay?
No one should kill a baby before what?
Wait a minute. My problem is that I don't think that anybody has a right to tell that person what to do with their body. Point
Why not?
Blank. That's the body part. Now, as far as you deciding what to do with the baby before or afterwards, that depends upon what's going on with her body. With her,
Why?
Her doctor, she can pray over it or whatever. You know, now she has a boyfriend or a husband or something, they discuss that, well, we don't want to do this or we want to do that. They make that decision together. If they both decide no, if they both decide yes, fine, whatever. But it has nothing to do with somebody up in Congress or somewhere else or some government telling them what to do. You can't have an abortion. You can't do this or do that.
So you don't think anyone else, Jean, you think no one else has any interest or any business saying to a couple, you can't hurt your baby? Who's going to look out for the baby if the parents aren't looking out for him or her?
Usually they make decisions based on what's available for help for that family.
So you think it's okay to kill a baby if
they happen to have a child, which I know a lot of this happens. I worked in the government. I worked in civil service and all that stuff, and I know how they work. If they decide they don't want to have a child, they have agencies that want to help take care of these kids and help them get through the pregnancies and all that kind of junk, and then they can go down there and they can declare that the child, they don't want them, and they'll take them or whatever. They can leave
But Jean, in that case with a born baby, they can't kill the baby, right?
Nobody said that they should kill them. I never said that.
But if you're saying that it's okay for them to have an abortion, that's the same thing as saying it's okay to kill the baby before it's born.
Abortions are necessary in some cases because some people have certain issues that have to be resolved between them, their doctor, and their family. Now, so their family could be a girl and her boyfriend. It could be her and her husband. It could be between just, you know, nobody's there but just her. Maybe she has a doctor or somebody that's there she can talk to, okay? I don't think it's the church's decision. I don't think it has anything to do with the government. I think it's a personal decision.
To end the baby's life, just if parents... See, Jean, I don't understand your position because you're saying it's nobody's business to tell them what to do. They can kill their baby before it's born. None of your business. But if they kill the baby after it's born, they can be arrested. So for me, what's the difference with the baby? Isn't it the same baby before and after birth? What's the difference?
Well, because one thing, the baby that's not born yet is not considered a baby in my world until after the baby starts being able to breathe and being independent, or they're having blood going through their lungs and actually doing some kind of receiving and exchanging of bodily fluids in the body. That's my perception.
So, Jean, okay? you're saying it's not a baby until it's born?
But if it's not functioning in the body, some kind of amoeba sitting up there multiplying and dividing, or sitting up there some kind of cell organizing, dividing and all that stuff, to me it's not considered a baby.
Jean and Trent, I'm sorry I got to interrupt you because we got to take a quick break. It's a fascinating point Jean's making. I know Trent is ready to give an answer, but we have to take a break on Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. The question today, why are you pro-choice? And we will be right back.
Don't you just love listening to Trent Horn? Did you know you can book Trent or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchased and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win, win, win. Together, we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 6:53, as soon as Jesus and his disciples landed at Gennesaret and left the boat, people began to bring the sick to him on mats. Whatever villages he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged that they might only touch the tassel of his cloak. The combination of faith and humility always brought miracles, and it still does. In a culture of cynicism and arrogance, such virtues are so often nowhere to be found until we hurt. On September 11, 2001, concerns over the separation of church and state and political correctness were not in evidence on the streets of New York City, when religious pictures and vigilites lined so many sidewalks. For a time, America was humbled and began to walk with the Lord. We've drifted again. It's time for America to once again embrace the cross. As always, it remains our only hope. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice? That is our topic today. Why are you pro-choice? Maybe you've decided that it's not up to you to interfere in these decisions. Maybe you've decided you don't think that your personal choices should be enshrined in law. There are all kinds of and shapes of pro-choice view. We welcome all of them today on Catholic Answers Live. We hope that we will be respectful and even, God willing, charitable in our responses. But we do welcome disagreeing calls today. Why are you pro-choice? 888-318-7884 is the number. Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers and author of Persuasive Pro-Life, is taking your calls. We left with Jean's question, essentially her assertion, I suppose, is the way to say it, Trent. Her assertion that there is no baby before the moment of birth.
Well, the term baby is an emotional term. No, I was using the term in the conversation because that's what was the currency of exchange. We're talking about babies, and I wanted to get into more, well, what do you mean by that? I think it's interesting. People say, well, it's not a baby. Well, what does that mean? Since baby is an emotional term, I would agree with you. An unborn child is not sucking on a pacifier, sitting in a crib or a bassinet you're holding in your arms and changing their diapers. These are things you associate with babies, infants, I should say. But it doesn't follow from that the unborn child is not a human being just because they are not an infant. Yes, they are not a baby in the sense they are not an infant, but the term baby can be used emotionally for anyone. Many of us, even as adults, will still be called our mother's baby. And you could say that an embryo or a fetus is a baby. They're not at the infant stage of life, but they're a very, very young human being. And so I think our conversation, and unfortunately we'll have to move on, really got to the root of the issue, which is I don't think it's anybody else's business what you do. Well, obviously we agree it is other people's business if they're harming a born baby. The question is it a baby before birth? And clearly it is. It's not, as our caller said, an amoeba simply dividing. You have living, growing tissue that has human DNA and human parents that is organized into an organism, a very small human being that just needs the same things you and I need in order to continue living, which is nutrients, the right environment, and time. And abortion deprives them of these things, just as many other fatal things would do that for born people. And that is essentially why abortion is wrong, that there are serious life problems people confront. I don't disagree with that. But we as a culture culture agree that we shouldn't solve serious life problems by committing acts of violence against innocent people. That's a barbaric way to solve difficult life problems. And so people may disagree with that, but we can definitely keep having the conversation.
Isn't that a little bit of a case of false precision too, that to say, well, that's not a baby, that's a fetus or something? Well, that you're being overly precise in the use of language.
It's a category error to say you'd have to define what a baby is. That's why I really do prefer to say, is what is in the womb a human being?
Right.
Is it a member of the human species, a human person, regardless of age or our emotional values to that individual? That when we start saying some lives matter because of how we feel about those lives, we are on a dangerous, dangerous path that people have gone down many times in history. And whenever people look back on that path, they always react with cringe and horror. And they say, how could someone have thought of that? Well, they're thinking of it right now.
888-318-7884 is the number for Catholic Answers Live today. Why are you pro-choice is our topic. We go to Nicole in Delaware, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Nicole, your question or comment for Trent Horn.
Yes, hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hi.
Wonderful. I am an Episcopalian, and I am pro-choice. I'm at a point in my life where I'm 35 years old, and a baby would be an absolute blessing for me and my husband. In my early 20s, I don't know what my choice would have been, but as a woman, I want that choice to be there. I guess my question for you is, I know what the Catholic Church's stance on abortion is. When it comes to the fact of rape, incest, or a baby that is clearly having extremely severe birth defects where that child would suffer upon birth, what would be the stance on that? I know for me that I would want the right to spare my child from pain and make the choice to be appropriate for me and my husband. But I guess, you know, that would be my comment for you guys.
Sure. Nicole, I sympathize with, as a parent, the desire to wanting to keep a child from suffering. If my own child were stricken with a disease or had been harmed from someone, it just really rips into your soul as a parent. One of the worst things you can imagine is seeing your child suffer. So I do empathize that's so difficult, and you'd want to do anything to prevent that. But there are some things that I would not do. For example, if my child was dying or had in an accident or had a disease, and they were in the process of dying, to spare them from suffering, I would not kill them. I would not have a doctor just simply inject my child with morphine, for example, to overdose them. That might be something we do with animals because we don't value animals as much as we value human beings. With born human beings, at least, we say, well, if you are in a difficult position, whether you have a disability or an illness and you're in the process of dying, or let's say, for example, a born person who is conceived in rape or incest, we would never say, oh, you, I see you in front of me, your parents, you came from rape or incest, so you're not as valuable as me. We would never say that someone's functional ability, whether they're sick or healthy, or whether their parents loved each other or, came from an act of violence, doesn't change their value. And so what the Catholic Church would say, well, what I think actually anyone who believes in the intrinsic dignity of human beings is that all human beings deserve the right to life regardless of their circumstances, even if they are very sick or are the product of a pregnancy that resulted from rape. And that's why the Church opposes abortion in those cases as well. Now, Nicole, I will ask you a question. Do you support abortion in general, like for any reason, or just more in those cases?
Well, it's like I said, I don't approve of abortion as a form of birth control. I don't approve of a woman who has other choices out there to simply get pregnant and then choose abortion because they just feel like it, because that's what's convenient for them. However,
Nicole,
I do believe, and again,
okay. Go ahead.
I don't know what the choice would be for me, but I think the bottom line is that I feel that I have the right to make that choice for myself.
Well, I'd like you to hang on. Nicole, we have to go to a break, but I would like you to hang on because I have a very important question I'd like to ask you about what you just brought up. So do hang on the line, and we will continue right after these messages.
More questions or more answers to the question, why are you pro-choice? When we come back on Catholic Answers Live, I am Cy Kellett, your host. The number, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, everyone. This is Carlo Broussard. I've got a challenge for you. It's called the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half. And we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then, we're going to take $10 from each set purchase and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase, going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be a part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
What are miracles, and why does God work them? How can I believe in miracles if I've never experienced one? Aren't miracles just something pre-scientific people made up to explain what they couldn't understand? 20 Answers Miracles unpacks the nature of miracles, their appearances in Scripture and history, how the Church evaluates them, and ways to answer doubters who say they're mere superstition. 20 Answers Miracles is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our topic this hour, why are you pro-choice? 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. And we mentioned at the top of the hour that one of the books that Trent has written is one of the 20 Answers books, 20 Answers on Abortion. And this is, I'm going to read this, Trent. I haven't read it yet because I'm going to be taking the 20 Answers Challenge myself for the month of February when you purchase the sampler of all 20 Answers books. Then they're taken off half price, so you're getting the whole thing for half price. And then they're challenging all those of us who have them. I've got them already to get them all read by June 4th, the last day of the Easter season. So I'm going to read all 20 books by June 4th and share a little bit about that on social media. And we hope other people will as well. But the other cool thing about it is when you buy the set for half price, $10 from each purchase goes to St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, which is hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. If you want to join in on the 20 Answers Challenge, get all 20 Answers books from Catholic Answers at half price with $10 going to Street Evangelization. Visit Catholic.com and shop there or call 888-291-8000 to order your full set of 20 Answers books at half price. You were still speaking with Nicole, Trent. Is that right?
That's right. I was hoping to tie up our conversation. Nicole, okay. are you still with us?
Yep.
Okay, great. I thought it was interesting when you said you don't approve of abortion if it's used as birth control, but in these very serious cases, you could understand how someone would need that choice. Why don't you approve of abortion as a form of birth control versus, you know, maybe another kind of birth control? What is it about abortion for birth control you don't approve of?
Because I don't believe that I understand that some people within the Catholic Church that your position on birth control is that it is equivalent to abortion. However, forms of birth control. Go ahead.
Well, they're both wrong, but for different reasons. What do you believe birth control is okay. What is your position on that?
I do. I do believe that birth control is okay. I've used multiple forms of birth control because that was my husband and I. I mean, before I was married, mm-hmm. I waited a very long time to lose my virginity. I'm not afraid to. I was 24 years old. I was in a serious relationship. So I was very conscientious of that. It wasn't something that I just, you know, gave away. But I was also conscientious of the fact that I was at an age where I could not support a child and take care of that child properly. So I made the choice for myself to use birth control. And my husband and I used it throughout the beginning of our marriage because we were not financially stable to have a child at that point in our decision either. And the Episcopal Church, you know, supports that.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to nail that down because I'm trying to figure out why. So you are okay with some forms of birth control, like condoms or birth control pills, but you're not okay with abortion being used for birth control. Why?
I'm not, because I believe that if you're on the pill or you're using condoms, there is not a fetus. There is, if you're taking the pill, you are not conceiving a child. When you have conceived a child and then using abortion to extract that child, then that's a line that I'm not willing to cross.
So what does abortion do to that child that's conceived? It doesn't just remove them. What does it do to the child?
No, but I will say it, and I will let you hear what you'd like to hear, is that the child is killed. Or in some cases, you would even say that the child is murdered.
Nicole, I don't want to hear that. I'm just trying to figure out what it is we are talking about in very crystal clear terms.
Sure, and I will agree that when a woman has an abortion, that the child is killed. It is what it is. I mean, it's very crystal clear that that's what happens.
Then let me understand your position in the conversation we've had so far, because I want to, maybe I'm not understanding something, you can help me out here, is that abortion is the killing of a child, but it's okay to kill that child in certain circumstances. Is that your position?
Essentially, yes. I am saying that I don't know what my decision would be, but I do not. It's the same way that I don't feel. I'll give you an example, and it's a little bit off topic. I sat on the vestry at my church, and we had the decision to decide to approve a candidate to become a deacon. I personally felt that that candidate had a lot on his plate already, but someone spoke up and told me that I do not have that right to step in the way of somebody else. But that ultimately is between them and God. And ultimately, when it comes to birth control and when it comes to abortion, do I feel that I have the right to step between someone and God? No, I don't. So is that the choice that I would make? Not necessarily. But who am I to step in between someone else and the choice that they have the right to make?
Nicole, I heard this with a previous caller, and this is a very... I have a hard time understanding this reason, even in the diaconate example you gave, that if somebody thinks God has told them to do something, then we can't intervene. Well, I forget the woman, maybe it was Andrea Yates, I can't remember, who thought that God told her to drown her 5 children in a bathtub. Now, what if I was there and I could have stopped that by calling the police and I said, you know what, that's between her and God, I can't step in there. Do you think there'd be something wrong with my rationalization at that point?
I do.
What's wrong with it?
You would be there to stop her from killing her 5 children. However, you know what? Ultimately, it comes down to agreeing and disagreeing. But ultimately, it's the way that I feel, that I agree. I and I'm not going to say that you're wrong for being pro-life, and I'm wrong for being pro-choice. And we do have to find somewhere to meet in the middle.
I don't think you agree with that. For example, let me ask you a personal advice question. Nicole, should I go out and get legal and political experience and make abortion illegal? Should I go and do that?
No.
Okay, so you're telling me I'm wrong, and you're telling me what I should or shouldn't do.
It's your decision whether you want to go out and do that or not. But I don't believe that it should be in the hands of our federal government to make a decision on whether what I can do with my body.
Okay, then would I then have the right to...
You can go around in circles.
No, we're not going around in circles. I think we're at what's called an impasse, where essentially each of us has two different value judgments, and a person has to decide what do they ultimately value in life. Now, my value judgment is that all human beings, no matter how old they are, or no matter where they live, or no matter how dependent they are on their mothers, have a right to live and to not be killed. That the question, a child is, is it okay to kill a child in circumstance X? I don't think there is no circumstance X for that. So that's my value judgment. Your value judgment is, well, it's wrong in many cases, but not in some cases, so I can't intervene. And I personally just go with the value that includes more human beings being protected rather than less. Is that sensible?
I would agree that that's sensible.
Okay, great. Well, then I think that's something, to think over about our conversation. And I think ultimately we have to look at our core values about when it comes to human value. And just because someone is in the womb, or someone is dying, or someone is in a helpless position, I believe that justifies us intervening and helping them, even if there are people who disagree with us. So, Nicole, I do thank you for calling, and maybe we'll do the show again in another few months. Maybe we can talk about it a little bit more. So thank you very much for being on with us.
Thank you very much, Nicole. If you are pro-choice, we would love you as a caller today. We're looking for pro-choice people to answer the basic question, why are you pro-choice? Addressing your concerns or comments or questions is Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers, and also the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. We go now to Nicole. Am I right?
We bid Nicole farewell.
We said, okay. Sorry, I knew something was wrong about that, Trent. Let me give the number. 888-318-7884 is the number. We go to Adam in Bismarck, North Dakota. Adam, you are on with Trent Horn.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. What's your question or comment for Trent Horn?
I just wanted to say that I'm pro-choice, and especially when you have to consider, or when you sometimes have to consider, the life of the mother when there are medical circumstances that may put the mother at risk.
What circumstances might those be, Adam, that you're thinking of?
Well, I don't know the details of the medical problems, but I know there was a case a few years ago in Ireland where abortion was illegal, and while giving birth, the doctors had to tell her husband that that there were some complications, and that if the mother continued to give birth, that both her and the baby were going to die. Now, unfortunately, because abortion was illegal, they couldn't perform an abortion, and even though the husband pled with the doctors, they had to sit there and allow the mother and the child to die. Now, the child was going to die anyways, but if they performed an abortion, they could have saved the mother at least. Mm-hmm. But since it was illegal, they had to allow both individuals to die.
Okay. Well, Adam, I think the case you're referring to is the case of Dr. Savita Halappanavar. I think that's the case. I don't know, so I can't go into it in more detail. If that is the case, I'd recommend our listeners visit a great website, Savita Truth, S-A-V-I-T-A, SavitaTruth.com, because there's a lot of misinformation people have about that particular case. However, I'm willing to talk about the broader issue of what do we do when a pregnant woman is sick or there's a complication in pregnancy. What do we do in those cases when you have two lives and maybe you can only save one of them? What do you do in that case? So I would say we should not kill the mother in order to save the child, and we should not kill the child in order to save the mother. That a basic principle, if two lives are in jeopardy, we should try to save who we can, but that doesn't give us the right to kill somebody in order to save somebody else, even if both of them are going to die. Let me give you an example of this, a classic ethics example. You're in a lifeboat with another person, and the lifeboat is sinking. It could stay afloat if only one of you were inside the lifeboat. If you both stay in, you both die. Now, what if you said, well, if I kick this other guy out, I'll at least save my own life, and it's better to save one than lose two. But I would hope you'd agree in that case, just because your life is in danger, it doesn't give you the right to kill somebody just to save your own life. Do you see what I'm at least saying in that lifeboat example about killing in order to save life? Okay.
The only problem with that is it's possible for both people to stay alive. What if it's guaranteed that one will die? And if that one dies, it will take the other person with them.
Well, in that example, I'm saying the two people in the boat are weighing it down, and so it can't stay afloat. It could only hold one. So in that case, if neither person kills the other, they both will die. And if I was in that position, I mean, I would hope that I would have the Holy Spirit to be courageous, to face death in an honorable, dignified way. If they're both moral, then they both will die because neither will kill the other to save themselves. So I would say that in pregnancy, there may be cases like that, but they're very, very extremely rare. When it comes to a pregnant woman's life being in danger, there's really two areas we have to look at. If it's near the end of pregnancy, then even after the second trimester, or sorry, even after into the third trimester when we're getting later into pregnancy, what you can do if the mother is, you know, there's some problem, just deliver the child early. Just do an emergency C-section. If you do that, then you can say, well, instead of aborting the child where you give them no chance at all, even if the child's very young, you could say, well, at least we're giving them a chance to survive rather than, you know, both the mother and child will die. We'll just do an early delivery rather than a late abortion. The other case would be ectopic pregnancy. That's the most common case where an embryo implants in the fallopian tube and it grows. In that case, the child cannot be saved. The mother can be saved. And so in that case, the doctor can remove the damaged section of the fallopian tube and save the mother and indirectly end the child's life. This happens oftentimes in cases where you have two people in danger and you can't save both. You have to choose one. And in your choice, you indirectly cause the death of the other. An example I think people can appreciate would be on 9/11, when airplanes flew into the World Trade Center in New York. You know, you have a choice. Either everyone in the plane is going to die either way. But if you shoot the plane down, then you can save the people in the building. You're not killing the people in the plane in order to save other people. It's an indirect result of the choice you're trying to make to save the people in the building. So there's a difference between directly killing to save life and intervening to save life, where death is an indirect result. Do you see the distinction I'm making there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good. Well, hopefully that would be helpful for you. I don't know if we have to go to another. We'll probably have to take a quick pause here, but do think that over. And in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, I have a whole chapter on those hard cases. And I also quote doctors on the question of whether a woman's life is in danger who say that abortion is simply not necessary. We can manage those difficult cases in licit ways. A friend of the show, Father Tad Poholcek, has a great article. You can search for it online called When Pregnancy Goes Awry, A-W-R-Y, When Pregnancy Goes Awry by Father Tad. Goes into it in a lot of detail. So thank you very much for calling, though.
Why are you pro-choice? That's our topic today on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number, and we'll be right back.
Why are you pro-choice? Call now. Trent is waiting to talk to you.
Today, our faith is under attack like never before. Skeptics of all stripes are trying to undermine the very basis of our faith, the revelation that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Some critics argue that Jesus never even existed, and they've influenced tens of millions of people today. Others have argued that we shouldn't trust the canonical Gospels because there were dozens of other Gospels in the early church. And many more have claimed that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written long after the ministry of Christ, and that the evangelist felt free to simply invent stories and sayings of Jesus to suit their own goals. No wonder so many people today doubt their faith or have lost it altogether. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released a new DVD by Jimmy Akin titled why you can trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Christian sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed all show how the Gospels are true and accurate records of what our Savior said and did. To make your donation and get a free copy of Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels, visit Catholic.com and click the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 2 hours today on the topic, why are you pro-choice? If you are a pro-choice person, whether Catholic or non-Catholic, of any persuasion, and for any reason, we'd love to take your call today. We'd very much welcome your call at 888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Answering your questions, comments, objections today is Trent Horn, apologist here at Catholic Answers. And we go to Rich in Illinois, listening on 88.1 FM. Rich, your comment for Trent Horn.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I think as long as the society is what it is, that people have different addictions, drug addictions, alcohol, gambling, you know, the drugs, that these children are not going to be taken care of. Our hearts are not towards God. He allowed people to come into power who put these laws into place. So this is the law of the land. If we just bull rush this law out, like we just toss it out as like unethical or whatever, what's going to happen with all of these children that are not going to be loved or cared for and neglected? And suddenly you've got people who've never had to take the responsibility of having a child, and you're going to take away the right to have an abortion. These people are going to be having children. I can't scenario than a child growing up that's not loved.
Oh, okay, Rich. First, if you have your radio on in the background, you might want to turn that down a bit. And let me see if I understand your position. You talked about how God put leaders in place and they gave us these laws. Are you saying that God wanted it to be legal for abortion, or can the leaders God gives us, can they do something that's wrong that God doesn't want?
Well, first of all, our hearts were wrong towards God, or we wouldn't have had these leaders put in the first place.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what you mean by that. I would agree with you that all people sin, and so none of us perfectly lives according to God's law, and we need God's grace in order to be restored into relationship with Him. But we're all sinners, but I don't see how it follows from that because we all need the grace of God, that because of that, when someone commits a heinous sin, like making it legal to end a child's life before they are born, we have to simply acquiesce to that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Rich, would you identify yourself as a Christian, or?
I would identify myself as a Christian.
Okay, then I would say that many scripture verses, I would hope they would point you in a different direction on this. First, Psalm 146:3 says, "Do not put your trust in human princes, in human beings who can't save," that many of our leaders do terrible things. We have to call them out on it. In particular, Proverbs 24:11 tells us to rescue those who are being dragged to death. Proverbs 24:11 says, rescue those who are being dragged to death. So my question is, if someone is going to be killed, do we stop and say, well, are they going to have a good life or a bad life? If it's a born person, do we stop and ask if they're going to have a good life? Or do we just rescue them from being killed when it's a born person? What do we do in that case?
Well, sir, when people sin, they're going to be dragged to their death. And so when you talk about something like that, there's a spiritual death and there's a physical death. And if we can stop somebody from the physical death, by all means, we should do it.
Okay, well,
we should do it. What about the spiritual death? You see, these people are on their way to death anyway until they turn their hearts back towards God.
Who are you talking? You talking? Are you Rich? Rich, are you talking about the people who are having abortions?
No, abortion is not necessarily the worst thing out there.
I'll agree with you. It's not necessarily the worst thing out there, but I would say ending the life of a small child has got to be up in the top five. What would you say?
Well, I would say that the people having the abortions have got other problems other than just the abortion. You're looking at this from the abortion side, and I'm saying there's a big old battle that's already been lost.
Right, but how does it follow, Rich, that
Nebuchadnezzar is a good example of what I'm talking about in the Bible. Daniel made it very clear that nobody comes to power on their own. We don't vote in our presidents. If we voted in someone God didn't want in power, he'd never take office. It's very clear. These things are because of our hearts are towards destruction. He puts people. God allows people to come into power that will lead us into destruction.
But does God give us the choice and the moral duty to oppose those leaders when they harm innocent people?
Well, I'll put it to you this way, sir. If I could help a woman who was pregnant with some finances or a place to stay or anything in that realm to help her in order to keep the kid, I would do it if she wanted that or needed that help. On the same hand, if there's a woman who wants to go and has made this decision to go in and get herself an abortion, I would defend her right. Having been in the military, this is the law of the land. People don't have a right until this is overturned.
So, and Rich, 150 years ago, when it was legal to own a slave, and let's say it sounds like you have a charitable, compassionate heart that if we transported you back in time 150 years ago, you could either, if you wanted to, you would buy a slave and set them free. But if somebody wants to take their slave and they need your help to get the slave onto their plantation, you would help them because it's the law of the land. Would you have assisted slavery 150 years ago simply because it was the law of the land?
That's a rough question, buddy. It depends on who the person who was and wanted to help, and I would try to treat that person with as much dignity and respect as they were due as a fellow.
Are you talking about the slave, Rich?
Human being, the slave, absolutely.
Okay, well, I would say it's not a rough question, actually, that people who have a right to be free, and so we should help those who are enslaved, and we help those who are enslaved by making slavery illegal, and people have a right to live. And we can help unborn babies whose right to life is threatened by assisting their mothers, but also at a larger level, making it illegal to harm those babies. And just because God gave us leaders, leaders can sin, and we have to hold those leaders accountable because God will hold us accountable.
Thanks very much, Rich. Thank you, Trent. Another hour coming up on Why Are You Pro-Choice. If you are a pro-choice person, we welcome your call, 888-318-7884, and taking your calls the next hour. Again, Trent Horn. We'll be right back.